Right. First of all, I would just want to say thank you to my family that came. It's been a blessing. I don't remember the last time that all four of us has actually been together to worship, and it's just, I couldn't ask for a better family. I'm so blessed. So, in high school and college, they teach us how to give speeches. And one of the things that they say is you need the hook. You need something that's going to grasp the people's attention. And most of the time it comes to either using a very good analogy or using a joke. So I'm going to do the one better and I'm going to make them proud. I'm going to do both. So get ready the groans. So, and you are not allowed to, I know you already know what the answers to these are. So, why couldn't the pony sing? Because it was a little horse. Yes, why are hummingbirds always humming? Because they don't know the words. That's just like me. I can't remember people's names. I just found it's Luanna, not Leanna, this morning. And so now for a longer story to kind of tie into a little bit is you have this guy, and this, some of y'all experience this way too well with Harvey. But he's sitting on his front porch, and there's this big storm coming in, and he's in a floodplain, and he knows his house is going to be demolished pretty much. So he's sitting up there on his porch. He's sipping his tea. Here comes along this truck as the waters are starting to get over the streets, and this big 4x4. And he asks, hey, hop in. Come on, let's go. We need to get out of here. He's like, no, don't worry. The Lord will provide. Okay, whatever. Boom. He drives off. So the waters come up. He's in a two-story house. Now he's sitting on the second story of his balcony, and here comes this boat along in the water. And he's like, hey, come on, let's go. We need to get out of here. Like, it's going to go above your house. It's like, no, don't worry. God will provide. And then now he's on the roof, and for the experience of a joke, we're going to pretend like he can actually hear the pilot in the helicopter. And the pilot in the helicopter says, let's go. Come on, your house is about to be flooded. And he's like, no, the Lord will provide. Well, his faith was so strong, he finally made it up to heaven. They let him through. But he kind of had like a little pit in his heart. And I was like, he didn't save me. What happened? So he finally waddles around up there, and he finally finds God. And God's like, welcome, my child. I'm so glad you're here. And he goes, Lord, I'm so glad that I'm up here, and I'm glad that I'm worthy of you. But I have to ask. I had all this faith in you, and you were supposed to save me from this flood. And he's like, well, what else was I supposed to do? I sent you a truck. I sent you a boat. I sent you a helicopter, and you just sat there. So, how to trust fully in God. Control. That is what we want. We like control. It's something that we learn through repetition, which then becomes habit. Control is what is needed to get things done right in our mind. I am not a control freak at all. That's a joke. All right. And some of these statements are true up to a point, but we cannot control everything that happens. We like the feeling of being in control because we know what is going to happen, or at least we have a good idea of what is going to happen. So my attention getter for my analogy is this. Control is like sports. You have to do a bunch of prep work and a bunch of exercises to do the things that you need to do for a game. Up to the point to where when you get nervous, your body kind of takes over more when your brain's just going everywhere. So like, let's say throwing a football, you have all of the drills, all the moving around, all the distractions coming at you, but eventually the control has to leave you. As soon as you throw that ball is in the air and you just have to sit there and hope. I was going to have someone out here this morning catching a football, but my roommate wasn't awake, and I didn't want to wake him up because he has the football. So we were going to throw it down the middle of the aisle and trust that I wouldn't hit anybody, but that didn't happen. But it's the same with our Christian walk. God has given us a preparation of what a Christian is and what a Christian does. He gives us the Bible. He gives us examples. He gave us Jesus to come walk around here to know what we're supposed to do. But he hasn't given us the control of how everything in our lives will get us to the ultimate place where we want to be with him. He lets us control our actions and our decisions, but he controls the different situations that we encounter. Trusting the godly things that we have been taught and studied and trusting the things that God controls is such a wonderful combination when it works together. This is a combination that creates less stress, love, trust, and having that ultimate and never-ending eternity with our Creator. With the things we can control, we need to always strive in seeking Him first. We cannot waver from keeping Him in our thoughts at all times. We are told to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, which I believe embedded in that is also we need to have Him in our first thoughts. We need to think about Him with all of our heart, think about Him with all of our soul, think about Him with all of our mind, and think about all of our strength. So that way our decisions are focused on Him being there. He controls what comes towards us, but at the same time, we're controlling how our thoughts are going towards there. Thus keeping us better equipped to be less distracted as sin comes into our lives that are not godly. Which brings me to my next point. If we do these things and we're controlling our part and we know God's going to control His, worrying. I will say this, my family is completely full of worrying. I'm going to blame my grandmother. All right, because she's not here. We know how the story ends, so why do we really worry? It's so simplistic as that. There's a plethora of different verses on the subject alone. The one that always hits me the most is when Jesus is talking on the Sermon on the Mount, and He uses the analogy of a bird. It's like, does a bird worry? All it does is fly around, make a nest, make a family, and provide for the family. It doesn't worry about what's happening on the next day. It just goes out and does what it's supposed to. We may have more things on our list, but the concept of us as a Christian walk is the same. Live a godly life, seek Him first, do the things that He's taught us through the Bible, and love one another. Back to the analogy of the game. You have to trust the coach, which is God, and His game plan is going to work. You can't veer off and do your own thing, no matter how enticing it looks. But in this godly life, we also have to remember sometimes we have to punt the ball, so to speak. Or we have to let the kicker, if we're the quarterback, we have to let the kicker do his job. Because ultimately, we know how the game ends. There will become conflicts and struggles in our lives that are going to get us down and that the devil's going to put in front of us to try to get our thoughts off of keeping Him first. I heard this analogy the other day. It really struck home to me. Make sure I read this right. Just because there's a bad storm above us doesn't mean that the sun still isn't there. No matter if you think you can't see anything, He's still there. He's still guiding. He's just not visibly in front of you. Which then leads me back to the final point of where we are going. He has promised us heaven. He has promised us an eternity of life. And with heaven, I want to go through 3 points. Because we know that He is not going to be someone to take our trust and not follow through with His promise. Heaven is going to be so glorious. It'll be a life with no conflict, a life with no distracting sin, a life without darkness. And here are the 3 points I want to make. Beauty, no limitations, and finally meeting our Creator. Beauty. Heaven is just going to be awe-inspiring visually. The colors, the landscape, things we can't even imagine are just going to be there in front of our eyes. And we're just, it's going to be nothing like we ever thought. It's going to be far beyond what we could comprehend. We get little snippets in the Bible of what heaven is, what it looks like, but it's just going to, it will rock our world. Limitations. We won't be bound by limitations up there. As I say, there will be no darkness. It will always be light. We'll be free to not be tired, not be drained, not to be chained down with this earthly bodies that we were renting here on this life. Our ultimate high in faith will just be the starting point of what we feel up there, and there's only one way we can go up. We will never stop praising. We will never stop singing. We will never stop all of these things to that we have limitations here because it's how our life is here. Having unlimited feelings and faith in heaven will be so wonderful. Having no conflict with one another and no distractions. And again, we will get to glorify and praise our Heavenly Father, and we'll get to do it to Him actually face to face. The best part of all of heaven, yes, it's going to be glorious. We're not going to have limitations, but we get to meet our Creator. Just let that sink in again. We will get to meet our Creator. We will get to meet the person who just uttered words and made galaxies. That's who we put our trust into. That's who we put our love into. And isn't it so great that the God of all power and almighty chose to be a loving God so that we have this chance to live with Him in eternity? Heaven is just going to be so wonderful because we get to meet Him, we get to talk to Him, we get to praise Him, we get to do it face to face. So I know I haven't really gone into a lot of things about trusting God, like you should do this, you should do that. But I believe if you keep your thoughts on Him all the time, that's all you need to do. That's going to keep you from doing the things that trip you and distract you. He will always be there for us, even if we don't see Him. We need to trust Him no matter what. He is loving, He is caring, and He has a plan for us. We need to finish the race we started with as much vigor and trust as we did when we came up out of that water. We need to remember what He has promised us. And we need to remember that no matter what happens, man can do nothing to me. For if I lose my life to Christ, then I will gain a life with Christ. Trusting Him is a great decision. It's a wonderful life, and it prepares us for the life after this. It's a great life. Our worries are taken away. Our stresses are taken away. But we also need to remember that we control how we live our life, and that's what He's given to us to make sure that we're worthy to be with Him forever. If you've not put on Christ, I urgently say that you should. If you're worried about what this life is, don't be. You got the best person behind you to back you up. You got the best person to give you a home, to give you a family. So if you need to come forward or if you need to talk to someone, please do so. Trust Him no matter what, and you will be given so much more than you ever would have asked for. If you need to respond, please do so as we stand and sing.